Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the fifth season of the City Confessions. I am so excited to be starting off my third year of this podcast. I normally start off the year and a new season with a solo episode, but to be quite honest, not that much has happened since I closed out season four, which was basically last December. So I decided, you know what, this is my podcast. I make the rules. So I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to just quickly update you guys on what's happening in my life. Literally, this introduction is probably going to be 5 minutes. And then we're actually going to start off the episode with my guests. So stay tuned for that to see who it is, even though the title probably already gives it away. But anyways, Happy New Year. It's 2021. Let's all get into the groove that this will be a good year for all of us. I know it's a bit difficult to, you know, really believe in that. But you know what? We have a new president. We have a new vice president, a female one. So we are making history. And I truly believe this will be a year that a lot of changes are going to happen. And not just collectively and globally, but I hope you guys take this year to really, really, I don't know, like tune in to what you want to do this year, because this is like your year. I know it's so cliche, but to be honest, if 2020 has shown us anything, it's that life will throw curveballs at you. And I feel like we've all been cooped up. That now it's just time to break free, you know? That just should be the motto of February. Just break free, guys. But quick update. I know that I talked about this in the last episode. I am working on my book. I'm so excited. I usually don't like to talk about things that haven't happened yet, but because it's in the motion, I feel like it's fine to talk about it. Again, I'm not revealing anything else about it. Just know that it will be launching by the end of the year. That's all I can say, because as some of you might know, with publishing and writing, there's never really a strict timeline. There's going to be a lot of, hurdles along the way that I am going to embrace. But I know that the universe has my back. I'm so excited to even say that out loud, that I will be having a book coming out this year. And stay tuned for that. In regards to the podcast, every single week you can be expecting a new episode from me every Monday. So obviously we're gearing up today, February 1st. Everything leading up will be a new guest. And then if I have any other updates, I'll probably do a solo episode in between. But without further ado, sit back and let's dive into this week's episode. Hi guys, welcome back to the City Confessions. I am so excited because it is season five. It is my third year doing this and I honestly can't believe it, but I love it so much. And today, to start off season five, we have such an awesome guest. I don't even really know him, but you guys know this is like the format that I normally go for. I kind of just invite random guests who are doing amazing things in the city. So today I have Reagan Petrin. He's a creative entrepreneur. He's also the partner and head of brand of Felix Roasting Company. By the way, it's also one of my favorite coffee shops in New York City, so we can dive into that a little bit later. And he's also the co-founder of 1900 Barker. So hi, Reagan, how are you?
Hello, hello. You're already making me blush. No, but honestly, you do it all. I don't even know like where to start. That's why I'm so excited to have you on. And in your Instagram bio, you have constantly doing too many things. And I was like, that's my type of person. I wanna connect with him.
Yeah. I love it.
So why don't we begin by having you introduce your fabulous self to my listeners. Tell us who you are, what you do, and your relationship with New York City.
Okay, great. My name is Reagan Petrin. I've been in New York for 3.5 years now, so still relatively new to the city, as far as New Yorker standards go. I am a creative entrepreneur, like you said. I essentially, for the last 8 years, I've started a string of businesses. And so my role is kind of like providing creative direction, being a part of like the founding crew, hustling, getting it started, getting it off the ground and building a strong identity, at which point I usually step back and then pursue the next thing.
So, okay, let's rewind. Where did you grow up?
So I'm from Kansas City, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've never been there.
Hear that a lot.
So what made you come to New York?
So New York was actually total kind of happenstance, I'm not going to lie. So I was working in Lawrence, Kansas, which is a college town. It's where KU is at. I don't know if you watch basketball. And I have a bakery there that I started with my brother. So we're co-founders together, and it's like a bakery coffee shop. It's actually been nominated now for the 4th time for the James Beard Award, which is totally unheard of in like that part of the Midwest. And I was doing that. I was working my ass off. And it kind of became more and more clear that it was time to take a step back. Family businesses are obviously complicated, but it was really just a matter of like, you know, when it's time, it's time. Like you can only grow so much with any project. And I was really feeling like I needed to go do the next thing. And I was like, maybe I'll take a couple months off and just like center myself and go to like, I don't know, fucking Hawaii or something, and just like figure my shit out. And literally a week after that, I was sitting down having lunch with my now partners at Felix Roasting Company.
That's wild.
At which point I think I moved here maybe 2 weeks after that conversation. So the vacation did not happen. Just instantly like wound up here. I found like an apartment in Chinatown and just like moved all my stuff up here. Actually there had been a fire in my apartment building in Kansas City before I moved. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't have very much stuff, which is honestly was such a blessing because New York is not the place to have a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. as I learned. And yeah, I just like immediately set up shop here and got to work. So my first 2 years here was really just building a coffee company and like nose to the grindstone. I don't think I like went out more than a couple of times in the first 2 years.
Okay. First of all, I'm so fascinated by your hustle because I will say that's something that I feel like New Yorkers just embody naturally. Hmm. And I always say that New York is definitely not for everybody. And there is this energy and like vibe, and it attracts people who are just like very like-minded, which is probably why the universe brought you here. But I'm so just curious to know about this like entrepreneurial journey and this business mindset you have and this hustle, because what is your experience with that? Because I feel like a lot of people, even if they wanted to start a business, they would have to have, you know, these conversations with people, they would need to do research. But I feel like with you, you kind of just know it and you just go about it. So can you walk me through that background, like the business mindset and how you were able to even gain the confidence, especially in a new city, to just, you know, do the damn thing.
Totally. And really quick, I'm gonna go on a brief tangent to your previous question. Kind of the second major factor as to like how I wound up here. I was also dating a girl long distance and she was here in Brooklyn. Oh, okay. So that was a major bonus for me to like decide to partner up with these people and just get my ass out here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, obviously, like New York is less scary when you have some people to land on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge. I cannot imagine moving to the city and not having anybody. Anyways, fast forward to your last question. I think what you said about confidence is really it. Like, I come from a family of entrepreneurs. Both my parents have their own businesses. And I grew up watching them be their own bosses and just figure out how to make it work. I think my mom was 35 when she was laid off from her job and decided to do freelance photography. And so I got to like watch her as like an 8-year-old figure out how to like, you know, figure out her taxes and figure out how to start an LLC and book clients and build a business from nothing. And I think I've had some really solid examples of what that looks like. And in my head, it wasn't that complicated by the time it was time for me to start. And I think for better or worse, my parents did a very good job of giving us a lot of confidence. And, you know, honestly, probably sometimes comes back to haunt me, but I think it's just about like doing it and knowing that you're going to make mistakes and knowing that's going to be okay.
So your first, well, I guess it was that conversation. It was with building Felix, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was, I guess, the theme of the conversation? How'd you guys go about building it and creating it? Because I will say, as somebody who loves cafes, even before, you know, you and I connected, I already found Felix and I have been there multiple times. I think the coffee is wonderful. I think the vibe there, as I mentioned to you, is just stunning. I'm huge on interior, like design and the vibe of a cafe. So I feel like you guys definitely have excelled in that. And especially in New York, it's unique, right? And that's, yeah. I'm not saying it's rare, but it's hard to stand out since there are so many cafes out there. So like walk me through, I guess, like what was, when you guys thought about Felix, what was like the one concept that you guys really wanted to hone in on?
Yeah, for sure. I guess I'll preface it by a little bit more on my background. So before New York, my focus was on specialty coffee. So with 1900 Barker, my brother is a chef and a baker, and I was kind of the concept / coffee / like operations guy. And before that, I was actually living in China, doing like education and consulting for coffee businesses. So I would like teach classes of like 25 people, like how to make tasty coffee, but also how to like make a sustainable business. And so my focus for a long time now has been in just kind of like elevating the business in that way. And so when I finally came to New York, it was like a really obvious fit between myself and the partners at Felix. Because we all kind of had this similar motive to make something that was really new and fresh and different. And obviously it needed to be successful and sustainable. And so I sat down with the founder, Matt Moynihan, and we immediately hit it off. I think we had like an hour and a half or 2-hour long lunch right before I jumped on a plane. And he was like, I want to blow up the scene. I want to do something that hasn't been done before. I want to make something that's like so crazy. It's just going to blow everybody's minds. And I really thought he was full of crap at first. And then the more I listened to him talk and the more he told me about kind of like the work he had already done in figuring out what was required to start a business like this and the partners he had already kind of signed on. It became more and more clear to me that he was really serious about this. And so we shook hands and agreed to partner up like that, basically like later that week. And so it was kind of like from day one, there was like this shared drive to kind of like overdo everything in all ways. Like that's kind of our whole thing is like more is more. And so when it comes to the design, right around the same time we signed on Ken Folk, who is our interior designer, and his design team actually handles all of our graphic design, and he is officially the creative director of Felix Roasting Company. And that was huge for us. I mean, Ken is amazing, his team is amazing, and having their energy behind a project like this is totally crazy. And as far as the menu goes and kind of the shop experience and like the vibe and everything, that's where I come in. And kind of the motivation there was like, we wanted to create something that was accessible to everybody, but also if you were there for that, could totally blow your socks off. So our menu gets kind of crazy and really fun. And like, I think in the first year we had like over 50 million impressions on one of our menu items.
What?
Maybe even for 6 months, it like went totally viral.
Oh my God. Wow.
And like, it did not expect that at all, but obviously such a blessing. Yeah. So the whole time it's just been like, how can we do more? How can we execute this in a way that more people will see it, that more people, that will be accessible and exciting to more people. And having a team that all shares that goal is super refreshing. I think it's really hard to find often in business people that are willing to go out on a limb and try something different. There's a lot of like food and beverage is really hard and it's expensive and it's like risky. And so oftentimes people can be very hesitant, and it's, yeah, like I said, it's such a blessing to have a team that is not that at all. We just, we throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Totally. When you find that good people or those good people, you have to like definitely stick with them. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the journey has been very positive, but I know in what entrepreneurs, that's not always the case. So if you're looking back at everything that you've done so far, when have you felt the most challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I was reading Danny Meyer's book a few years ago, and he describes opening a restaurant as like having a kid. And he's like, you know, you like you have a baby and then you kind of go into like a coma for like a year where you don't see anybody else or know what's happening in the world. And then finally you realize the baby's not going to just die on its own, and you can like put your head up, at which point you realize it's probably time to have another kid. And you start the next one.
So that's kind of like your approach.
It's been that way for like the last 6 years for sure. And I mean, for now I'm kind of done having babies, but like, it's, yeah, like that first year is just totally crazy. I think restaurants and coffee shops and bars and anything in that kind of world, and I'm sure any business is this way, but like, that first year, like, you don't know if you're going to make any money. There's a lot of days you don't break even. You have a staff to pay. Like, you never open in a way that feels like you're finished. Like, there's always stuff that goes wrong and you have to fix and you have to keep building out. And like, I don't think the build out for our first location in New York was done until a year after we were actually open. So it's like, you're trying to stay open and also keep building the thing, and it's just like it gets crazy. Like, you work, it's pretty common for kind of chef owners or people who are kind of responsible for the operations, like myself, to work 120 hours a week in the first 6 months.
That is so crazy.
And so, yeah, it's really, and it's not like there's one thing that's like the hardest part. It's just like the hard part is the kind of churn of all of it. It's just like all of this crazy shit that you don't see coming, and like managing people and managing money and managing a location that you don't really know what to expect, because you never know who's going to show up until you open. Like, you think you know your demographic, and then you open the doors and you realize that actually 70% of your guests are tourists. And like, how do you change your kind of vibe or your business practices to meet those people where they're at? And yeah, the first year is just crazy. And then with Felix, I think we were 2 years in, a year and a half in, and we opened our second one in Soho, and that was right after COVID. And so that was kind of another summer of that one. We opened really, really fast. It's kind of our
Wait, like, why do I not know about that location?
Where yeah, is so, oh my gosh. Well, I'll take you to Soho, but it's, we opened in August. And it's,
is it the same like layout or concept? I mean,
same concept, different layout for sure. I really love it. We kind of, it's a bit more, I don't know if you could ever call us minimalist, but relative to our first one, it's a bit more minimalist.
I'm literally Googling it because I'm like,
I love it. It's my favorite one. We actually have, I mean, the terrace outside is super fun, just like having kind of that like outdoor seating area. Obviously we would love to see people inside right now, but that's not where the city's at. But yeah, it's a little bit more industrial. We did a lot of work in Midtown to kind of turn it into a jewel box, and like you don't see any of the HVAC, you don't see any of the utilities in the building. It's all kind of like encased in this beautiful facade. But with Soho, we decided to kind of leave it open so you can see the pipes and you can see the ductwork and everything. And I think it kind of actually tones the whole concept down a little bit and makes it a bit more accessible as like a daily destination, which is great because we have a lot more residents in that neighborhood, so we see the same people every day.
Got it. Oh my god, my mind is like blown. I literally didn't know that you guys opened another one. I'm yeah. literally looking at it right now, and I'm
that's our COVID baby.
Oh, nice. Okay, so let's talk about COVID. Let's talk about running a business during this time. Obviously, I know you guys had to close, and there's so many just rules that are always changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're recording this in January, but like, who knows what's gonna happen by the time this goes live in 2 weeks. So how, I don't know if it's a valid question to say, how has it affected you? But I guess, how have you guys as business owners strategically tried to, you know, still stay on the radar, still try to be in business, and just all of it with everything that's been going on?
Yeah, so COVID threw a wrench in everybody's hopes and dreams, obviously. Of course, restaurants have been hit really bad in this city. It's really heartbreaking to see, and I feel like in a lot of ways we came out really on top of the situation. And I feel so blessed to be able to say that. It's been so hard to watch so many of my friends have to shutter their businesses, and I cannot imagine the pain that so many people are feeling right now. For us, I think the hardest part of it was when COVID first hit, and I think our sales went from our busiest season ever to a 95% drop in the first week.
Oh my God.
Essentially the neighborhood that our first location is in is corporate and tourism, and none of those people exist in New York anymore. So as soon as COVID hit, like all of the offices cleared out, and obviously tourism stopped. And so we had to make the decision really fast of like, yeah, we have to close. It's not worth it to stay open. Combined with considering the safety of our staff. Like for me, it was really a decision of like understanding, and we closed before it was mandated. And it was really a decision of like, I know that my staff doesn't feel safe, and I'm not going to ask anyone that doesn't feel safe to come into work. And it was, yeah, it was kind of like that two-pronged thing where I was like, got to make sure that the staff, you know, knows they're taken care of right now. And pretty soon business isn't going to be sustainable. And that was a really tough few weeks. Like that was just crazy. I think I definitely didn't sleep a lot.
At any point though feel like, I don't want to say this is it, but it ever got to the point where you were like questioning, oh my God, because nobody knew, right? Like how long it was going to last? Or did you always have this like sense of hope and yeah?
I think we had a lot of optimism about how we would climb out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think people are always going to want a cup of coffee, and that's something that can really easily be converted to a to-go only business.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And so just from that standpoint alone, we did have a lot of optimism about being able to come back from this. And we had actually signed the lease for the Soho space like a month before all of that happened. So we knew we were going to move forward with that no matter what. So we were kind of working on something in the background all of the time, even while our main cafe was closed. And that was, it was a really interesting position to be working on something new while being shut down and watching a lot of other people shut down. But ultimately it was really refreshing, and I think it made a lot of people in Soho very happy to see something actually open during this time.
So both locations are open, right?
Just the Soho location. Yeah, I expect Midtown will be asleep for a while.
Oh, okay. Got it. So let's shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just ask you, I know it sounds like a simple question, what keeps you up at night? And I know we talked a little bit about like challenges along the way, but I think the reason why I always ask this question in all my episodes, it's because as you mentioned yourself, as somebody who is living in New York City right now, running businesses, you're constantly on the go. You're always working on a million projects. And I don't think we take time to kind of sit down and be real and say like, hey, this is actually what's like stressing me the hell out. So what's on your mind that you feel like this is maybe like an insecurity, or maybe this is a fear of mine that maybe a lot of people on the outside might not, you know, might be surprised about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I'm kind of like a base level, like something that I've consistently really struggled with in the business world is like imposter syndrome. And I think a lot of young entrepreneurs probably relate to that. Especially in New York. Like, I'm not from here. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from a small town. Didn't come here with money. Didn't come here with like, you know, some like,
I don't know, luck like, and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I'm not famous. And if you do business in New York, ultimately you end up in a room with a lot of people that are those things. Like, you end up in a room with people that are wildly successful and have all the stuff and have the money and all that. And it's pretty easy to feel like you don't belong. And that's definitely something that I've kind of had to learn to get over and learn to ignore. I think a lot of entrepreneurs go through that in their own minds, like while they're getting into a field of like, do I even belong in the industry? Do I even belong like, you know, in the business world? I think a lot of kind of like super niche industries, like coffee is a really niche thing. Like, it's a really small world. There's not that many people that do it at a really high level. Everybody knows everybody. And even in that, I think I'm pretty well respected in the industry, and I still feel like people probably assume I'm full of shit just because that's where my head goes. So that's definitely like a thing for me. And I've done a lot of work on myself to kind of get over that and realize that like, if you are in a room with people, it's because you're meant to be there. And it's because you're good enough to be there. Like, you wouldn't be in a room full of successful people if they thought that you were full of shit.
I couldn't agree with you more. And that happens to me all the time.
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm naturally outgoing and, you know, pretty much an extrovert. But sometimes when I'm in a room full of people or in events or meeting people, it's like, I guess so many, like in my mind, I was like, if only they know what I'm thinking, because it's like the total opposite of like what I'm, I don't want to say, portraying, but there is a sense of who you are and who, like where your mind goes sometimes.
Absolutely.
Because imposter syndrome is real. And that's actually another thing that I have noticed is a consistent theme, because a lot of people that I have, you know, brought on, who again, like you said, seem wildly successful, they have these amazing titles, and they're always like, no, like, trust me, I don't feel 100% confident, and I'm still figuring it out. And I think that's the beauty of like sharing these stories, to be like, we are obviously different, but a lot of the insecurities that we have are very similar, because at the end of the day, we are humans.
Absolutely.
And it's definitely a consistent, you know, journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and I think that, I mean, part of this is just like the human condition that everybody, you know, goes through. I think part of it is also just, if you're somebody that is driven to do things, I think you have a natural tendency to kind of be down on yourself and assume you're not doing enough.
Yeah. And in a way that can act as a motivation though.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
So while we're talking about all of this work stuff, how do you define success? And then as a follow-up question, what does happiness look like to you, or what does happiness feel like to you?
Yeah, those are the big questions. You know, 2020 has been a year of redefining what success looks like for the entire world, and myself included. And to be honest, I'm still figuring that out. Like, I think for me, success looks like waking up in the morning and doing exactly what I want to do during the day. I think if I can wake up every day and do exactly the thing that I want to be doing, that's success. I think everything else is kind of like a tertiary quality. Like it's a bonus. In 2019, I think I made more money than I've ever made in my life. And it was more than I ever thought it was possible to make. And it was also the year that I was the least happy. Mm. And it was the year that I worked the most and lost the most friends. And I think, wow. I think a lot of people probably have shared that experience, and it's not sustainable. 2020, conversely, was a year that I've made much less money, as I'm sure everybody can relate to. Mm-hmm. And I finally had time to reconnect with friends that I've been missing and ask other people what they're working on, which mm-hmm. is, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get, and a lot of just people working in startups and people that are busy get stuck in this cycle of like worrying about what the next thing in their own careers are and worrying about what's happening the next day and losing sleep about whatever and not checking in with their own people. And for me, that was a huge theme in 2020, was like reconnecting with people, developing friendships, developing meaningful friendships that are productive. And it's been so rewarding. And so moving forward into 2021, like really all I want to do is develop a lifestyle for myself that allows me to feel success in the things that I make and the businesses that I build, while also maintaining a community for myself that brings me joy.
Oh my God. I love hearing that so much, because I feel like that is also something that I'm like a value that I have. I think relationships, honestly, is like the key to everything. It's the key to like happiness. It's the key to success. And I think what you said is really important to just shed light on, the fact that helping others it has so much benefits. And I think a lot of people, especially in New York, once you adopt that mentality of like good karma and, you know, giving before taking, or just giving and not even expecting, that has been, I think for me personally, also it showed just like, again, like benefits down the road. Even with this podcast, a lot of the times it's through referrals and like word of mouth, because I'm obviously always looking for guests, because that's the only way I, you know, will get content.
Yeah.
And like even with Judge, who connected us, and then Amy connected Judge and I. So it's just incredible to see people extending, you know, their network and support for others. And I also believe like my friends would totally get along with your friends, because like there's a reason why
Absolutely.
We are connecting. Like, you attract, like, your vibe attracts your tribe, and you are who you surround yourself with. That's why even when, you know, before we recorded, I was like, I don't know you, but, like, I already know I like you.
Same.
it's really interesting. Yeah.
And on that topic, I mean, let me just say, like, Judge is somebody who embodies that. Like,
oh, I know. 100%. I love him.
Yeah.
I just texted him before we recorded. I was like, I'm recording with Reagan today. I love him.
I owe Judge a lot of photos for his sunglass brand right now.
Oh,
so.
I do too. So if he's listening, we got you.
I'm working on it. I promise. I love you.
Yeah. But actually, we didn't talk a little bit about your artistic talent. So why don't we just touch base on that a little bit? Because first of all, love your work.
Thank you so much.
You definitely have a unique perspective in your photos. So it's not just good quality. It's like, I can see each picture. I'm like, oh, I can see how he viewed it from, you know, obviously your own eyes.
Oh, that means
so
much.
Is that a passion project? I know you kind of want to, you know, you're aspiring to be a creative director. Like, what, how does photography and all that play in your role, in your life?
Yeah, for sure. And this is a great tangent from the conversation we just had about community. Mm-hmm. For me, I've always had a camera in my hand. Like I said, my mom is a photographer. She became a photographer professionally when I was 8 years old. So I kind of grew up on set helping her do her thing. And I think I bought my first camera when I was 13 or 14. And from then on out, I've just always had a camera on me or nearby, and it's kind of just been this way for me to see the world. It's kind of like, I've never really done anything with it. I think last year was the first time I ever sent an invoice for visual art that I'd made. So it was always just a hobby for me. But it was a very sacred hobby for me. And it was something that I was able to bring into all of the businesses that I was involved with. So I've kind of always eventually taken over visual direction for pretty much every project I've worked on, including Felix. So I do all of the photography for Felix Roasting Company. And it's a super rewarding thing for me to be able to build something, be it a business or furniture or whatever, and then be able to photograph that thing, or a dish or a drink for the menu at Felix, and be able to photograph that. It's a very kind of zen, well-rounded practice to make something and then take the picture of it yourself. And it's a practice that I really enjoy. And then moving forwards, 2020 was the year that I decided it was time to move forwards from Felix, actually. So I'm still a partner, still involved in kind of a more distant fashion. And I've been focused more or less full time on transitioning into filmmaking full time. And that's been super interesting and challenging. And 2020 is probably the worst year I could have picked to switch careers, but I'm on the roller coaster now, and it's been a blast. So I kind of had this moment where I was like, I've had this feeling for a decade of needing to open myself up more with these talents that I have. The happiest memories I have are moments where I had a camera on me. Or I was behind a camera, or I was in front of a camera. I think within a 3-month span, every single one of my friends was like, so when are you just gonna make films and take photos full time? And I was like, holy shit, is this just what I need to do? So I kind of thought about it and sat on it for a while, and I was like, yeah, let's just do it and see where it takes me. And that's been where I'm at. So still very baby stages, but I've got a lot of really fun projects kind of coming down the pipeline. I just shot a short film in Kansas City over the holidays. And yeah, it's so rewarding. I feel like I've always had a box to put my art in, which was whatever business that I was working on at the time. And so there was always a really distinct kind of like aesthetic to capture, or a really distinct subject to photograph, or there was always constraints. And it feels amazingly powerful to just make whatever I want to make.
I mean, you definitely are talented, so I feel like you would be doing a disservice to yourself and the world if you didn't explore that.
Thank you so much. You're making me blush over here.
No, seriously, I'm not just saying that. I mean, if, you know, I'm really honest, so it can be a bad thing.
You're very sweet. But on the subject of kind of like the power of community, mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, I was, before I went home for the holidays, I was feeling kind of stuck in my process. Filmmaking is obviously really difficult, and it requires a lot of people to help you. And that can be a really hard thing to find in New York, in terms of just like people that are free and open and have time to do something that they're probably not gonna get paid a whole bunch for. And like, obviously those communities exist here. I think I've just probably not been here long enough to completely build that for myself yet. And in Kansas City, I totally have that, just because that's where I grew up and I have tons of friends there and have, you know, people that have studios and all of that. And it was such an amazing experience to go home, talk to my friend Taylor, who's an amazing musician, and be like, hey, we should make a film about you and about your family and about your creative process. And within like a week, we had gotten a crew together. We found this amazing producer to essentially donate like $50,000 worth of production equipment for us to use. Got a camera, got an AC, got a lighting package together, and we just did it. We just made it, and it's so far it's amazing. And it was such a cool moment to be like, you know, this felt so hard and unattainable until I just looped in a bunch of people that I like, and then it just happened like that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of something that I'm really holding close to my heart moving into 2021, is like, involve people in your work, involve people in your projects, because that's really the only way to make progress and move forwards.
Yeah, totally. No, I just love that. Community is so important. And I think especially in 2020, it definitely showed us that. Because once we all took a step back, we're like, okay, we're clearly going through this pandemic, not even just in a local scale, but like globally. And if that doesn't show the power of like unity and like community, then I don't know what would.
Right.
So this podcast is called The City Confessions. And as we are wrapping up, I would love to have you share a confession. And I want to preface this by saying this is a safe space and to share whatever you're comfortable with. It can be something silly and very, you know, just like very lighthearted. It could be something a little deeper. Whatever your heart desires. And the reason why is because, one, it's like a little common thread in all my episodes, but also I just wanted to tap in and like normalize struggles and again like vulnerabilities. And that has been my main mission in on this platform, is to like share real stories, but take it how you want it. But if there is a confession you can share, what would that be?
Yeah, fun. Oh my gosh, that is a tough one.
Only question I knew I was going to ask you. And I wasn't trying to hold it, but sometimes when people know, they come so rehearsed. And I was like, I mean, whatever. If that's like your vibe, that's cool. Sure, but sure. I wanted to just be like, you know, very raw and natural.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Okay. So this is a very embarrassing one. confession. I have a car. I brought my car from Kansas City And I think I have racked up over $4,000 in parking tickets since I moved here.
Oh my God. How do you still have your card? Don't you have like deeply, points taken off?
Deeply embarrassing, very ashamed of myself for this. But it's, I mean, it's like, they're so hard. If you're busy, if you work a lot, if you're busy, they're so hard to avoid.
Is it usually for like going over, like not paying, going over the meter? Like what is like, the cause of these?
I don't even know. Oh my God. I think most of them are like alternate street cleaning days. So like, you know, the streets get cleaned once a week. And if you're parked on the wrong side of the street on the wrong day, you get, I don't know, whatever it is, like $70.
So at this point, are you just like, you're like, it doesn't even faze you anymore? Or are you still like, oh, God damn it?
No, it still sucks. Every time I get one, I'm like, God damn it. I mean, it's just part of life, I guess, at this point. Like, yeah. I love having the car because I surf a lot. So it's like great to be able to get out to the beach whenever I want to and not have to worry about the train. And it's just like, you know, it's the other car payment. It's like, you know, payment, insurance, and ticket fund.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know what? At least you have made peace with it.
I feel like New York is just gonna be expensive.
That is true. Yeah, if you just like put, like change your mindset instead of thinking it was a parking ticket and just say like it was.
It's just cost of living.
Yeah.
It's just cost of living.
You're like, you know what? It's fine.
one or two of them a month. You know, it's just like part of my rent.
Exactly. That's what I like to do. Like if I ever like lose money or spend something extra, I'm like, you know what? Just change your mindset, put in a different bucket and you'll be good.
Yeah. My concept of money has changed so dramatically since moving to the city. Like,
yeah, I bet. I mean, New York City is crazy. It's so expensive.
I go home and it's like, oh my God, a beer is $4.
Yeah, that's just unheard of.
And it's
this
like,
is why I like to travel.
Should I just buy drinks for the whole bar right now? Like, what's happening?
I know. I'm really curious, by the way, what is your go-to coffee order?
Oh, that's a great question. Right now I'm drinking way too much coffee. Quarantine has not been good for me in terms of the amount of coffee that I drink. My go-to, if I'm at a place that is very good, is a cappuccino. I'm a sucker for a good cappuccino.
Like whole milk or like?
Oh yeah, definitely whole milk.
Okay.
Whole milk, double shot, like 100 and 140 degrees. That's like definitely that feels like home.
And do you by any chance like know how to make coffee, like lattes and like, you know, the fancy artwork?
I do, yeah.
Oh, you're like the whole coffee package.
Well, before, I mean, Felix is, I haven't worked behind a bar in probably a year and a half, but when we opened Felix, I was behind the bar, I mean, at least a few hours a day, if not more. And before that, at 1900 Barker, that was, I mean, we were balling on a budget with that. So I was behind the bar, you know, every day from open to close. And so that was like just banging out coffees for the neighborhood, which was a blast. I can throw down for sure.
That's amazing.
I have a little espresso machine in my apartment, so I can stay current even if I'm not working behind a bar.
So I just want to take a moment right now to acknowledge your presence, to appreciate, to take time to appreciate you taking time out of your day to come speak with me and my audience. I always feel like when two people say yes to something, whether that's meeting up for a phone call, a podcast recording, it's a gift. And time is something that is, you know, it's something that you have control over. So the fact that you penciled me in, I'm so appreciative of that. I think your story and who you are is so amazing. So thank you for blessing my podcast with your beautiful energy. And yeah, so
this has been such a wonderful time. I am thrilled to be here. This has been great. Would not choose a different way to spend a Thursday morning.
It is a beautiful Thursday morning, I will say.
It's gorgeous, yeah. Like, yeah. Got sunshine coming through my windows. Mm-hmm, I'm talking to a lovely person. Like, what else can you ask for?
Exactly. Okay, so I have one more, like, question before we fully wrap it up. I love to end on a positive note. Mm-hmm. So, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
The one thing I love most about myself? Solid question. Mm-hmm. Wow, you are really asking like some really good.
We gotta go deep, you know.
Yeah, you're going there. I love it. Something that I love about myself is that I can go into a room and find common ground with just about anybody, and I think that. And just given the state of the world right now, that's a really powerful tool. And that's been, I think, really helpful for me being in New York because, you know, it's such a diverse place and there's so many different types of people here, like being able to just kind of make friends easily and be in a space and find joy there is a great thing.
Amazing. Yeah, I think also you probably need that characteristic to kind of run a business. And
you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that's helped me a lot in terms of, I mean, running businesses has taught me that in a way. And whatever I had of that before probably helped me in the beginning. But I mean, you know, employees are the most diverse group of people you're ever going to find. And it's been like it's taught me so much, just, you know, having teams of really interesting and diverse people.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, here is your chance to plug away. So what can the world and the listeners and everybody else be on the lookout from you, Reagan, in this year? It's 2021. We are in a brand new year, brand new energy.
Brand new president. Let's go, Biden.
Exactly. Hey. I know you're always working on things, but what can you share, if you can, some like previews? What can we be on the lookout from you?
Yeah, okay. 2021 is going to be a very exciting year. And I say that because I think it's going to be an exciting year for everybody. You know, this is going to be, there's a lot of new energy in the world right now. For myself, there's going to be, I can't give you all the details yet, but I'm founding a sort of wellness brand. Hopefully we're going to roll out kind of towards the end of summer. And that's going to be, it's going to be really delightful products for young people that work from home, creative professionals.
I'm so excited.
It's kind of a lifestyle wellness brand. Ooh. Focused on rituals and mindfulness and owning your mental state. And that's,
you're speaking my language, by the way. I'm all about mental health, rituals, morning routine, wellness, all of that.
Awesome. I'm gonna like hound you for some publicity then. Oh, I'm gonna send you all of the free stuff. That's really exciting for me. It's gonna be, not only is it gonna be something that I think is really gonna be good for a lot of people, but it's also going to be a really amazing creative outlet for myself. It's online only. It's going to be a blast. I'm super excited for that. And the second thing, I guess, to look out for is it's going to be a lot of really gorgeous film content coming out. I'm starting a film studio or a production studio. To kind of house all of my creative projects. And my focus for 2021 is going to be helping restaurants get back on their feet. So I'm looking for chefs and restaurateurs to partner up with to kind of help them with free content and kind of build them some really inspiring visuals so that they can kind of get some eyes on what they do. So that's my project for the summer and for the spring is getting a lot of that work out there into the world. Very excited about that.
So exciting. I love hearing that so much. And I will leave all of Reagan's information in the description. So be sure to click on that to follow him, because all of these projects are clearly in the works and they're going to be rolling out in the next few months throughout the year. So be sure to, yeah, check him out. And again, Reagan, thank you so much for hopping on. This talk was so lovely. And I hope they enjoy, well, I know for a fact that the listeners have enjoyed it. So yeah, other than that, I will, I'm like, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to like wrap this up.
You're doing great. You're doing great, Marianne.
You're doing great, sweetie. No, but, thank you so much again, and stay tuned for next week's episode, which will obviously every single Monday, guys, or actually whenever you're listening to this. But thank you again, Reagan. And yeah,
thanks, catch you guys
in the next one.
Ciao. Bye.